Bobby on the inside?
We've got you covered.
It's the Binsiders. Joining Jesse on today's show, it's Sam Madison. Quite happy to see cornerback Brent Grimes come away with a pick six last night.
Hey, when you mention us, you got to say DBs.
I'll let you do it. I don't have to.
You got to come in with a different swagger. You can't come in like you're an offensive lineman.
Rounding out the crew, it's Troy Drayton, who's not afraid of talking about anything on the air.
I haven't played with a butt pad since probably college. Seriously, you guys make fun of me all the time, so I'm used to it.
Yeah, you and your butt pad.
Yeah, my butt pad. Now I'll say it again. Butt pad, butt yes, pad, butt pad, butt pad.
On today's show, we'll recap last night's big win. Plus, Tristan Jones is in the comment center with fans planning some special festivities for the new month.
Well, aside from that, they're growing their beards out.
How did that start?
You know what?
I saw that.
I don't know. I just asked them, someone please explain to me. They want to grow their beards out. That's November.
It's the Finnsiders.
Ready, steady, go!
Welcome to the Finnsiders. Big Friday, a Dolphins Friday, day after a big, big win last night. Miami Dolphins by two. By how many points?
Two.
Over the Cincinnati Bengals in overtime, the walk-off, wake-off sack. It was just a bizarre ending to a fun night at Sun Life Stadium. The team really put everybody through the ringer. I got to tell you, they did that thing again where they get up two touchdowns in the second half, let the other team catch up, eventually take the lead, and then the Dolphins tie it late in regulation, win it in overtime on, I guess, the fourth overall possession of OT. That's what went down. We've talked a lot about it since it ended. We'll continue to talk about it for the next 2 hours. Here's what else we've got coming up. More on the victory over the Cincinnati Bengals. We'll also take you inside the Dolphin locker room as you get to hear from the head coach, Joe Philbin, addressing his team, and Andy Cohen of Dolphins.com will stop by the studio. Brock Marion going to join us in the second hour of the show. Speaking of defensive backs, yes, the great safety from the Dolphins will join us in hour number two. We'll also take your text messages at 347-347, your phone calls at 1-855-GO-FINS, and throughout the show we'll check in with Tristan Jones, who is over in the Metro PCS comment center. No Finnsiders therapy today, Jones.
Can I just tell you how good it makes me feel to not have to be somewhat of a therapist? At least my best attempt, since I'm not certified. But gosh, it feels good. Got to tell you,
they're all happy in there.
I like positivity. It really is nice. Nice change of pace.
All right, I'm glad that everybody.
As much as the team needed the win, so did Tristan in the comment center.
The live chat needed the victory as much as the Miami Dolphins players. All right, so we'll check in with Tristan throughout the show. Guys, I mean, we've heard a lot about this game already. The defense, let's start there. They win the game. They help keep the Dolphins in the game with the Brent Grimes interception return for a touchdown. They made some really big plays in really big spots, but they also got burned a bunch on third down and third and longs. Frustrating things to work on, but overall, what kind of night for the defense, Sam?
You know, it was up and down, like we talked about in the pregame, Jesse. I really wanted to see these guys get off the football field on third down. When you look at the number of reps that they had out there, 93 plays on that defensive side of the ball, you have a lot of big guys. You know, when you're talking about Jared Odrick, 300-pounder, Randy Starks, 300-pounder, Paul Soliot, 300-pounders. These are guys you're talking about getting, you know, a good, you know, majority of the reps throughout the course of the football game. It tends to wear you down throughout the course of the game. So I want to see these guys get off the football field, you know, third and long. You know, the last couple of weeks has been one of those things that it's been keeping drives alive and not getting the ball back to your offense. When you're talking about being a top 10, a top 5 defense, you need to get off the football field and get the ball back to your offense, especially when they're struggling trying to put some points on the board. So, once again, the thing that really hit me was that third down missed tackles. But we, over the last few years, been wanting to take the ball away. You look at the things that Dimitri Patterson brings to this football team, you know, the aggressive at the line of scrimmage, knocking the timing of the route off with the wide receiver, and then being in place, coming down with interception, 3 games, 4 interceptions, Brent Grimes taking the ball back, taking the ball out of one of the premier wide receivers' hand, and then taking a distance, getting into the end zone. That's what you call playmakers, and it just was fun to be able to watch these guys. You know, when you talk about comeback and keep fighting and never quit and finish the game, that was the last thing that we said keys to victory, Jesse. I'm wanting to see these guys finish, and that's what they did. And Cam Wake, you said it, you know, finished the game in, you know, dramatic fashion for that victory, 22-22. 20 over the Cincinnati Bengals, Troy?
You know, when you look at the defense, the defense had their ups and downs. But I think one thing that they constantly did was they made Andy Dalton uncomfortable in the pocket. I mean, you know, with pushing up the middle and closing those corners and closing the edges, they constantly made him uncomfortable. You got some hits on the quarterback. But more importantly, I think the lift that this Miami Dolphin defense needed was Cameron Wake. I mean, him coming off the edge, doing the things that he does, constantly putting pressure on the quarterback, that was a difference maker. And, you know, when you're having Solei and Starks and all those guys starting to push that pocket, it everything is really starting to collapse. But, you know, you have to give a lot of credit to our defensive backs. I mean, Grimes, Patterson, you know, those guys taking the football away. I mean, it's important, and that's the type of football that you want to see your team play. You want to have that opportunistic type of defense. But the problem is you need to get off the field on third down. So ultimately, you have to have success shutting down people on first and second down to get to those long downs, and you can't give up big plays. So I think the Miami Dolphins did a pretty good job. I mean, 93 plays is a lot of plays, but considering, you know, how long we went into overtime, I'm not surprised. But the most important thing is they came out with a win.
Yeah, it was not perfect. It was not pretty at times. There were times when things were pretty. But overall, it wasn't a perfect game by any stretch of the imagination, but it was a gritty, gutty win when they desperately, desperately needed one. Joe Philbin said today when he was talking to the media, hey, we've got a ton to work on. I think that's the terminology he used, a ton to work on. He said, but the character of the football team has been revealed, and I like that. I think last night really was one of those character-revealing games for the 2013 Miami Dolphins. Now, of course, that doesn't get you anything, but we got a sense of what this team is all about. It was one of those games that if they go down and if it doesn't happen, a lot of people are writing them off, and it would be hard to argue with it. But now they're 4-4. They get a little bit of the mini bye, so to speak, here as they get ready for Tampa Bay a week from Monday night on the road. And it's time to take care of business for the 2013 Miami Dolphins, now mathematically halfway through their season, 4 wins and 4 losses. After the game, of course, Joe Philbin addressed his team. Here's a little taste of what was going on in the Dolphin locker room.
Hey, if there was ever a definition of a team win,
that's one right there.
Oh, yeah.
No doubt about it. Talk about a team that showed a ton of resiliency all week. It's this group of men right here in this locker room.
You guys showed toughness, resiliency. You believed in one another. All right, we need to build off of this thing right now. We need to build off of this.
You're right. Yeah, you're right.
All right, we're halfway through the season. The whole season's out in front of us. All right, great job. Dolphins on three. 1, 2, 3.
Go! All right, that was inside the locker room last night after the win, late night at Sun Life Stadium. I like how he started that, Troy. This was really a true team win. Cam Wake starred. Brent Grimes starred. Dimitri Patterson starred. Mike Wallace starred. Lamar Miller starred. Obviously, the fumble wasn't a perfect game, but it was like every unit, you know, played a big role. Brandon Fields punt in overtime, downed by R.J. Stanford. Huge, huge plays in all three phases.
Three phases, and that's exactly what you need to win these type of football games. You need offense. You need defense, and you need special teams. And you mentioned Fields and R.J. Stanford's, you know, him downing the ball. That's a huge play. I mean, you know, one thing about it, Brandon Fields has always been a weapon for this Miami Dolphin team, but it really showed what kind of weapon he is. And then when you're talking about the offense, you know, you're talking about Mike Wallace coming up with big plays, Brian Hartline tap dancing
huge
on the sideline. I mean, you know, you're talking about our running backs running the ball tough. I mean, you know, it is truly a group win, and you can't forget about the offensive line. You have to give those guys credit. The last couple games, they've truly improved, and more importantly, the run game has improved, and that's where I think this team, that's the difference between the good teams and the bad teams. The good teams run the football effectively, and they continue to stay after it with the run game. And I'm glad the Miami Dolphins are starting to get that groove back on track. And you got to take your hat off to the defense. I mean, those guys came up with big turnovers. They came up with plays when they needed to. And more importantly, Cameron Wake, I mean, what a big play he came up with to – to sack the quarterback for, you know, a safety. So everybody had their hand in this. And, again, it is a team victory, like Coach Feldman says, and they showed resiliency that even when they overcome, and they overcame a lot of adversity. So hats off to them.
Huge win, huge win, huge win. Finance your next big purchase with the Popular Community Bank Home Equity Line of Credit. Popular Community Bank offers flexible terms and low rates. Call 888-317-9062 to apply. Take a two-minute break. When we come back, we'll take you back inside the Dolphin locker room. We'll hear from Cam Wake and Ryan Tannehill and Brent Grimes about their big games last night. Also, a little bit of an update on the Jonathan Martin situation. Some breaking info being released out into the world. We'll do that when we come back. You're watching the Finsiders on Fox Sports Florida, and you're listening on Dolphins.com and on the Finsiders Radio Network.
Now, back to the Finsiders, your all-access pass to the 2013 Dolphins.
Welcome back to the Finsiders, a day after the Dolphins' dramatic overtime Halloween night win over the Bengals. With Sam Madison and Troy Drayden, I'm Jesse Agler. Get to the locker room blitz in just a couple of moments. We'll hear from Cam Wake, Brent Grimes, and Ryan Tannehill, what they had to say after the game last night. But we'll start with the Jonathan Martin situation. There's been a lot of information put out there in regards to Jonathan Martin and what he's going through and where he's at. And, you know, none of it's coming on the record from anybody, you know, in the Dolphins. None of it is coming from Martin himself, except for a reported Facebook post where he says, don't believe everything you read. Jeff Darlington, who, of course, is now with the NFL Network, but covered this team locally for several years and is very plugged into the organization, tweeted the following a couple of minutes ago. The following information about Dolphins tackle Jonathan Martin comes from multiple players and team sources. Jonathan Martin expects to be away from Dolphins for several weeks, working through personal issues, none of which are related to bullying. Martin has been in touch with teammates who have expressed concern about his well-being. Martin hopes to eventually return to the team. That word bullying got thrown out there today. I believe the first place I saw it was Alex Marvez of FoxSports.com, who, like Jeff, also used to cover the Dolphins locally. And that's a big buzzword right now.
Right.
Anti-bullying is a major initiative at schools all across this country, and it's a great thing that it is. But that word is a very powerful word that connotes something very powerful to a lot of people and something very specific to a lot of people. And so it was a word, I think, that started to turn this story, you know, from kind of a sports, football, Dolphins, NFL thing into a much, much larger conversation about a national topic. And again, now Jeff Darlington is reporting that none of Martin's personal issues are related to quote-unquote bullying. Obviously, we don't have any more information than, you know, what we're reading and what we're seeing, but it's a pretty sticky situation, and that is a loaded word, bullying. It is. It really brings out a lot of emotion in people because it's such an important, you know, kind of nationwide initiative right now.
Yeah, you have to watch out with words, and you know, Alex should know better than to use something like that, especially if you don't have the inside scoop, and I don't think anybody was really let inside to get that information, you know, only the players, the coaches, you know, really in there majority of the time. And when the media is in there, you know, you're only getting like little sound bites, you know, guys just talking while they're getting dressed, and that's what players also have to understand. Even though you're sitting there, you're talking to, you know, your teammate sitting at your locker mate, you know, these guys are still, you know, recording and listening to all the things that you're saying. So, you know, when you talk about that word, Jesse, bullying, like you said, it is a very strong word, especially, you know, with all the consequences that's been going on around the country and with people, you know, using the word and using the force behind it and putting people in bad situations. So, you know, you never want to see anybody going through anything like that. But when you're in a professional sports locker room, it is very, very tough. And because you're at the highest level of, you know, the sports industry, and when you're in those locker rooms, everybody's watching you. So when you're out there on the field, if you're, we've heard about the things in Texas, you know, people going to their house, all it's just crazy. And you have to be very strong in that locker room. And that's why, you know, when you're selecting these 53 guys to make this roster, you have to have the 53 guys, you know, that you can manage and help get through the course of 16 weeks, because it's a very tough situation. You know, some teams go 0-16 or 1-15. That is a very tough situation, Troy. You know, I've been there, and it was rough just going out in public.
I think when you talk about bullying, I think everybody has a picture in their head what it is, and everybody's opinion on it is different. But I think sometimes when you talk about bullying, you're talking about somebody who is helpless, and or somebody who can't defend themselves. And I think those are a few words that when you think about it, that's what happened. And I think it was far from that. So I think bullying is a very strong word, but I don't think that's exactly what was going on. You know, we've been in those locker rooms, and we understand the things that goes on. And a lot of the things are harmless. But I think you have to truly understand the man and understand how far you can go with certain things to truly, you know, understand everything that goes on in the locker room. And some people you just can't play with. Some people a little bit more sensitive than others when it comes to issues, and you have to understand that those issues are touchy. But, you know, that's not to say that everybody was right or there was any right or wrong, because we weren't there, so right. I can't tell you exactly what right. happened.
We still don't right. know exactly what was going on and what was the spark plug and what led to the yeah. spark plug, you know, firing through the song. I mean, that's all.
That's why you got to be careful when you put words out yeah. there like that.
And that's why that word in particular, it's a very, very powerful word, especially in today's day and age. And Troy, you made an interesting point about, you know, what you see bullying as. And again, Jeff Darlington's latest report on this situation is that what Martin's going through has nothing to do with quote unquote bullying. He's just yeah. dealing with some personal stuff. Obviously, we'll see how this whole thing plays out. It doesn't sound like it's going to be resolved anytime soon. And so, again, I guess to bring it back to football, just because it's a football show, hats off, Tyson Klebo, man, coming back Woo! Into the lineup last night and doing more than holding his own in a short week and in a tough situation. That whole offensive line, we talked about it a little bit earlier. Big credit to them. Guys like Klebo, like Nate Garner, stepping in for yep. Richie Incognito at left guard early in the game, to a guy like Will Yateman, who I don't think, you know, had played a snap on offense all season long, and now he's basically used as an extra tight end last night just to go heavy and just to go blocking, and he did a really nice job supporting the offensive line last night. Big time performance by those guys. Again, not a perfect game last night, but a critical, maybe season saving win for the Miami Dolphins against the Bengals.
It was a team win, Jesse. Just like Coach Philbin said, all those guys that you mentioned did not get a lot of run the earlier part of the season, but they come in one game and they help this team win. They help push this team over the threshold. So when you're talking about a true team win, you're talking about Garner, Yateman, you're talking about all the guys, Klebo, who had to come in and fill in on short notice. Things happen during the course of a game, and you just have to have guys who are ready to step up and fill in when needed. And that's exactly what happened. These guys are professional. They waited their time, and they came in, and they helped their team to victory. So Coach Philbin said it right. This was a true team victory.
There you go. Attention, fanatics. You can now ride Tri-Rail to and from all Dolphin home games. Avoid traffic and save money on parking. Visit dolphins.com/Tri-Rail. For details, we'll take a two-minute break, and when we come back, we'll take you inside the Dolphin locker room. We'll hear from Cam Wake, Ryan Tannehill, and Brent Grimes, all of whom played huge roles in the Dolphins' win over the Bengals last night. Andy Cohen will join us in studio after that. You're watching the Finsiders on Fox Sports Florida, and you're listening on Dolphins.com and the Finsiders Radio Network.
We return to the Finsiders now.
Third and 10. Dolphins' secondary looks a bit confused. Here they come. And he's got it in the end zone. That's a sack.
Safety.
The Dolphins win the football
safety.
Game. It's a safety by Cam Wake. Cam says, hey, I'm back. I'm healthy. That's the football
well,
game.
How about
winning a game?
Win.
Winning a game on a safety.
Unbelievable. Just the third overtime game in NFL history to end with a safety and the first to end on a true sack in the end zone. The other two, a blocked punt recovered by the kicking team in the end zone and a strip sack recovered by the offense in the end zone. So that one's technically a sack also, but this one, the first just straight up sack to end a game. As a defensive guy, Sam Madison, you don't get a lot of opportunities for those walk-off wins. That's got to be pretty special for those guys.
And then as a defensive back, you're downfield, you're covering, you know in the situation, you want to get out the field. All the scenarios been talked about on the sideline. Hey, they're backed up. Let's keep them down here, because even if they have to punt the ball, we'll have the field position in Caleb Sturgis, even though he's had a rocky road on his field goal attempts. We think that we have the ball in our court right now, and just keep them down here backed up. And then the look back, you're running all across the field, and you hear the crowd going crazy. You're like, whoa, the ball is on its way. That means it's coming. Then you look up, nothing's there. The wide receiver stopped. Oh, it's a sack. Yeah. And then other than that, it's a safety. The game is over. Yes, we're out of here. Don't even have to worry about that punting and putting the offense back on the football field.
Unbelievable situation. 347-347 if you want to text in. Jeff in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania wants to know if there's an update on Dmitri Patterson. There is not. Don't expect any formal injury updates until Thursday. Maybe get some informal ones trickling in, like the one we got this morning from Adam Beasley, the Miami Herald. Reporter Richie Incognito, it's just a stinger with the neck. He's expected to be fine and ready to go for that Monday night game. Dmitri Patterson, though, it's definitely one to watch. He's a difference maker on defense right now for the Miami Dolphins. All right, going to take you inside the Dolphin locker room, do a little locker room blitz on this day after Miami's two-point overtime win over the Cincinnati Bengals, and we'll start with the guy that ended it, Cam Wake, on his game-winning sack.
It's almost like a movie moment, you know, right before the play, everybody's looking at each other's eyes like, listen, we need to play right here, you know, and all day it's been happening, guys making plays, and you know, coach made a good call, and, you know, I had a stunt where I had to go down inside, and, you know, it was just one of those things, we had to leave it all on the field. You know, I got good help from my buddy J.O. and the guys backside, you know, and the line slid away. You know, I beat the center with a pass rush move, and, you know, just had to do whatever you can to get to the quarterback, put the ball on the ground.
Huge, huge play, and just beautifully done. I mean, he beats the guard like not.
I mean, you gotta take your hat off to coach. You know, Coach Crowell for calling that blitz. I mean, especially that stunt. But you know, it's teamwork, and you know, J.O. pretty much did what he needed to do, and you turn your best pass rusher loose inside, and he makes his best pass rushing move, and he sacks the quarterback. What a team victory! But more importantly, that defense played really well the whole night.
Yeah, when you talk about and look at all the different stunts and the schemes that, you know, the pose our offense has been dealing with opposing defense, that's the same thing that we do when we look at an offensive standpoint. Put Cameron Wake in a situation where he's on a guard who's not used to dealing with speed and quickness. Let him get that up and under, that snatch and pull, and then he's right in the front pocket of that quarterback. He's able to wrap him up, get him down, game over, set, match, Dolphins win.
Yep, how about that? You made it sound nice and easy. Here's Brent Grimes on pulling out the big win despite the defense spending a ton of time on the field.
It feels real good. I mean, I don't feel good right now. I mean, I've never been this tired, cramps in both calves, just a fighting game. It was long. That third quarter was long. We just fought, and it shows a lot. That shows a lot of character for our defense, and we just continue to fight and pull out a win when we had to. We needed this win big time.
Have you ever been out on the field as much as that defense was out on the field last night? They went 60 minutes basically straight, if you count halftime and all that, between offensive possessions for the Miami Dolphins. 60 actual minutes. Miami's offense did not take the field in the second half, Sam, until there was 2:03 to go in the quarter. That's brutal, especially for a guy like Grimes, who had the 94-yard sprint added into the whole thing.
And that's what it comes down to. When you have those games where you're coming up with multiple interceptions, you're trying to put points on the scoreboard, guess what? You're going to do everything possible, and you're going to exert a lot of energy, but the game is not over until it says 0-0-0, and it's not even. Brent Grimes, he worked his tail off. And this is October. He's talking about he's cramping up in both calves and all over. He hasn't felt this way ever in his entire life. Welcome to South Florida. That's what it's all about, and that is the heat factor that we're talking about when you're bringing other teams down here to South Florida and putting them into this environment. A guy that's down here practicing it every single day, but when it comes game time, you're doing 2 or 3, 4 times more than you're usually doing in practice, and this is what happens. You're going to give it all you got, and sometimes you don't have anything left after the game.
I think what this showed was mental toughness. I mean, again, when you're physically and you're physically tired and you're exhausted, you have to keep pushing. You have to push your teammates, and the crowd pushes you. So it's one of those things where no matter how tired those guys were, they still had to continue to fight. They had to fight through the cramps, the fatigue, the injuries, the little nicks. But the most important thing was they fought together and they brought home a victory together. And it really shows that, you know, this season, it's you've got to build in stages. And this is one of those games where down the road, the Miami Dolphins are going to be playing the overtime game. And they're going to look back at this game and say, this was a game to help us win the game that we currently won. So hats off to those guys. I know 93 plays is a lot of plays, but you showed the mental toughness that it took to bring home a victory.
Crazy number of plays. Lastly, let's hear from the quarterback, Ryan Tannehill, what he said this win does for the 2013 Dolphins.
It's huge. You know, backs up against the wall, you know, for a couple weeks in a row and just kept getting pushed further back. And finally, we got out of that hole a little bit. This is a huge win for us. You know, losing four straight, coming back, getting a win, a team win. You know, defense played great, made some huge plays, getting turnovers. Offense, you know, we didn't score a lot of points, but we moved the ball when we had to there at the end of regulation to get a field goal. And we kind of righted the ship. You know, we're back on track a little bit. It gives us a fresh start midway through the season. 4-4, obviously it's not where we wanted to be at, but that's where we're at. And, you know, we just have to build on this from here.
Build on it from here. That'll be the key for the Dolphins as they try and turn 4-4 into 5-4. And the week after that, 5-4 into 6-4. That's the Locker Room Blitz for this Friday after the Halloween win. Speaking of the game after 5-4, by the way, you got Tampa Bay on the road next week, Monday Night Football. Then the Dolphins come home for the Chargers on November 17th. That game has been moved.
Good one.
It was a 1 p.m. game. It is now a 4:05 game. They took Kansas City and Denver from 4 o'clock on CBS to Sunday Night Football.
Yeah.
And so the Dolphins and the Chargers was the most appealing of the remaining CBS games that were at 1 o'clock, so it gets moved to 4:05. A little flex for the Dolphins and the Chargers. by the way, you know, I'm not big into the whole 1 p.m., 4 p.m. weather thing. I don't think it's as big of a deal as some fans make. But West Coast team coming for 1 o'clock versus West Coast team coming for 4 o'clock, that one bums me out a little bit.
Yes,
huge.
That's a huge, huge difference for the San Diego Chargers. Their body clocks won't be at 10 a.m. for kickoff. They'll be at 1 p.m.,
right.
You know, kind of like a normal kind of day for them. I was reading, coming into this season, since 2000, West Coast teams playing on the East Coast at 1 o'clock have a win percentage of 325. 325. If they play at 4 o'clock or at night, the win percentage jumps to 422.
Yep.
So they go from winning about, you know, 33% of the time to 42% of the time when they're not playing at 1 o'clock. So, not the end of the world, obviously. But the Dolphins maybe lose a little bit of an edge that day. They'll have to make up for it on the field. From tactical to practical, GovX has the gear you want at the lowest prices. Shop 200 brands and more than 20,000 products for you and your family. Save on gear, tickets, and more. GovX.com. Savings for those who serve. We'll take a 3-minute break. When we come back, Andy Cohen, the Dolphins.com columnist, will join us in studio as we discuss last night's win and what lies ahead. You're watching the Finsiders on Fox Sports Florida, and you're listening on Dolphins.com and the Finsiders Radio Network.
It's the Finsiders with your host, Jesse Agler.
Welcome back to the Finsiders. Dolphins with a huge win on Halloween night last night against the Cincinnati Bengals. We're going to discuss it with Andy Cohen of Dolphins.com. He wrote his column this morning on the huge win against the Cincinnati Bengals. It really was a, at least for the moment, season kind of saving situation, it seems.
Yeah, it really was. As I go through the game in my mind and I replay everything, certainly the Cam Wake play was just brilliant, a game-defining moment, the type of play we expect from him, the type of play that was lacking in the four-game losing streak, and it's just really comforting to know now that Cam Wake is back on top of his game. Obviously, his knee sprain is healed. For the best defensive player on the team to play like the best defensive player on the team, just meant so much to this team. You know, it's a credit to him and it's a credit to the defense that they played so well.
I don't think there's any doubt that a fully healthy or at least way more healthy Cam Wake makes all the difference in the world for this defense. It helps the guys out in the secondary. It obviously changes things up front as well. You're referring to him as the best defensive player on the team. I think you could very easily make the argument right now Cam Wake is just the best player on the Miami Dolphins.
Yeah, you probably can. And really, you've got some outstanding playmakers along with him on defense. You know, I was thinking about the play of the two cornerbacks, and I'm not so sure I can remember the last time the Dolphins have had a pair of cornerbacks who are capable of making difference-making plays like these two, Brent Grimes and Dimitri Patterson, have. These two guys are playmakers. They're ball hawks. They're exactly what Joe Philbin was looking for in the secondary, and to have both of them step up, Grimes going the distance on a 94-yard interception return. Patterson's play was outstanding, stealing the ball from the receiver, getting a key interception. These are plays that the Dolphins desperately need, and now they have two players that can really get it done.
Yeah, we said how different the defense is when Cam Wake is at his best out there. Kind of similar situation. Totally different defense when you have Grimes and Patterson out on the field. Hopefully Grimes is able to get back out there for the Monday night game next week. Got to talk about the offensive line. Jonathan Martin, not available for this game, so Tyson Klebo reemerges at right tackle. Seemed to play his tail off all night. Richie Incognito goes down early with the neck stinger. Nate Garner steps right in, no big deal. You saw Will Yateman get action kind of as an extra tight end on the left side of the line to help out Bryant McKinney. And those guys, with all the discussion in recent weeks about the offensive line, nice to see them playing well yesterday, especially with some different pieces in there.
You know, it's interesting, Jesse. I sense a change in mindset on this team. All season long, we've been evaluating how they can improve their pass protection. Can Tannehill take three-step drops? Should he roll out more? We've avoided an issue that the Dolphins seem to be taking care of, and that's the running game. The best way, I believe, to protect this offensive line, the best way to limit the sacks, is provide a seed of doubt in the defense, and that comes with the running game. And last night was a great indication of this. The Dolphins ran the ball effectively. They were committed to the run. Probably more so than any game this season. Might this be a sign of things to come? The more I think about it, the more it makes sense. You know, this offensive line clearly has problems protecting Tannehill, but if you can establish a running game, if you can form some semblance of balance on offense, then you're making life a lot easier for the offensive line, and suddenly you're bringing the play-action play into play. And certainly this is something I'm going to look for in the second half of the season. I know Joe Philbin kids that he'd probably like to throw the ball on every down, but I think the makeup of this team might very well dictate more of an emphasis on the running game, and I think we could see that in the second half of the season.
Andy Cohen from Dolphins.com is here. He's on Twitter at @acohenfins. To go back to what you're just saying, there's nothing in the NFL rulebook that says, you know, your offensive style has to be week 8, week 9, week 10, what you thought it was going to be at the end of the preseason. You can make these sorts of adjustments and changes, whether they're broad philosophical ones or small, you know, personnel ones. And I agree with you. It certainly seems like it's possible that we start to see a little bit more of a run-heavy team just based on the guys they have.
Yeah, and I think last night may have been the starting point of this. Yeah. I really sensed, and that was, to me, other than Wake's unbelievable play, that was the story of this game. Lamar Miller rushes for more than 100 yards. The Dolphins control the ball against a very good rushing defense. If they can do that against the Bengals, then they can do that against other teams. And suddenly, you're giving Tannehill some options. You're giving him some breathing room. You're giving him the ability to have the play-action fake. I see worlds of an upside. You know, for years we were talking about the Dolphins are too conservative. Well, maybe with the makeup of this team, maybe being conservative isn't so bad in order to make up for some of the deficiencies that they have.
It also loosens things up a little bit for Ryan Tannehill and takes some of the pressure off him. We saw a very efficient, if not sparkly, performance from him last night. 20 of 28, 208 yards, didn't turn the ball over, didn't throw a touchdown, ran for one to give him credit, but he was just generally more comfortable, it seems.
Yeah, and I would have loved to have seen the pass interference play play out, because it looked to me like this was the pass that was going to lead Mike Wallace in full stride, and I just wish I could take back time, not have the defender be flagged and see how that play played out, because I really believe he could have gone the distance on that play.
Well, I asked him that in the postgame show. I think his exact words were, of course, when I asked him if he was going to score on that play without the pass interference. Almost seemed fitting last night that the defense was the one to come up with the points, just with the way they had played. And there were a bunch of third downs and big, tough, ugly third downs that they allowed. But the way they took the ball away, the way they pressured Andy Dalton. And remember, this is a guy that's been on fire for the last 4 weeks playing quarterback for Cincinnati, and they made him look very ordinary at times.
Yeah, this defense clearly has more playmakers than any defense that I can remember in a while. And we heard so much from Joe Philbin in the preseason and in training camp about takeaways, how important takeaways are. We saw it at the beginning of the season, then there was a lull. Came back last night, and these guys who are making the plays, these aren't flukes. These guys who have spent a career making their plays. Look at Dimitri Patterson. He's got four picks. He's got as many interceptions right now as any defensive back had through 16 games last year. And the amazing thing about it is he's probably played a total of three or four games out of the eight, and he already has four interceptions. You look at something like that, he's healthy now. It's certainly a source of encouragement heading into the second half of the season.
You can read Andy Cohen every morning on Dolphins.com. Follow him on Twitter at @acohenfin. So now let's look ahead a little bit, almost like a little mini bye week. That's the cliche that comes after this Thursday game. Even more so with Monday Night Football after this against Tampa. Most people will expect the Buccaneers to be 0-8 at that point, and we're not going to get into, well, you better win that game, which they should. But just this whole week now, a time to maybe, you know, normal some things out, I guess.
Yeah, I think it's an important week, and I think certainly having won the game, it's a far better week than it would have been. Yeah. I think the Dolphins need to spend this time to get healthy, to reaffirm what they're doing well. And really, I don't look at Tampa Bay as, you know, a game against a winless team. I look at it as an opportunity for the Dolphins to build on what they did against Cincinnati. And if they come out with the same mindset they had against Cincinnati, they'll be fine against Tampa Bay. And when you really, you evaluate the first half of the schedule, they beat the Colts and they beat the Bengals, and those are two of the elite teams in the AFC. And if they can do that, what team on the second half of the schedule can't they beat?
Well, if they look as good as they did last night in some facets of the game, clean up some of the other things, could get interesting in the second half of the season. Halfway, Dolphins are 4-4. Always good to visit with Andy Cohen. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Jesse.
All right, we'll take a break, come back, and continue to address your questions about last night's game and break it down. You're watching the Finsiders on Fox Sports Florida, and you're listening on Dolphins.com and the Finsiders Radio Network.
We return to the Finsiders now.
Dolphins showing blitz. Here they come. Back to throw. Flips it out. And the ball is picked off.
Picked off.
It's Grimes. He's down the far sideline. He may go. He's got one man to beat. Cuts across the field at the 20, at the 10. Touchdown.
All right.
No flags.
Big Grimes. What a play. Holy smokes.
93 yards.
One of the huge plays last night.
Listen, I left him up there, and I went downstairs. I was sitting right there in that end zone. He was coming. As soon as I got there, all of a sudden the play, he intercepts. He's going back. I'm sitting here like, unbelievable. No, I'm not taking any credit. No, listen, bro, I'm not getting in between those lines. Not at all.
So what did you see on the play?
Well, you know, the thing about it, when he ran the out, A.J. ran the out, and Brent just undercut it. Finally, he looked back for the football. If you look at the couple of plays before, he was just looking at the wide receiver. And I tell defensive backs all the time, majority of these balls are going to be underthrown or behind the wide receivers. Because they had pressure. He let the ball go. The ball is behind him right where Brent is breaking on the back hip. And that was a lot of balls that Tannehill throw. If you throw that ball out in front of A.J., it's going to be a completed pass, or it could even been a touchdown. But because of the pressure that Kevin Cole placed on Andy Dalton, the ball came out early. It was a late throw. Brent Grimes, he fights for the ball. And you look at A.J. Green, he was trying to reach back for it. He was off balance. By that time, Brent Grimes is gone down the sideline. Nobody can catch him. He had those boys in front of him.
I was sitting on field level, Jesse, right in that end zone, man. And it was beautiful. I mean, you know, Brent undercuts that thing, and you know, and he's off to the races. And you know, the impressive part is you saw all the defenders, you know, trying to get him a block or trying to stay between him and the other guys who was chasing him. So it was funny that how he ran out of gas at the end. But I was just hoping and praying.
Funny.
No, it was funny. It was funny because you know, when you think about those defensive backs, you know, they're supposed to be some of the most well-conditioned guys out on the football field. But he almost got walked down by a tight end. So, but, you know, I'm glad that he actually got into the end zone and he did his flip. But the thing was, he was exhausted. He was that almost took the life out of him there, because
I need to go back out on the field for another like 20 minutes. Right? That's the crazy part. You have the full sprint for 94 yards, and then the Bengals go out there and run another 12 plays and move another 80 yards, end up cutting it to 17-10. You look back at everything that went wrong for the Dolphins and that could have cost them a victory last night. Where would they have been without the Brent Grimes pick six? Because Cincinnati was moving the football there,
right?
And it changed everything. It was 10-3. It's a 14-point swing, maybe. I mean, when you consider that they perhaps looked like they were getting ready to tie that thing up, moving towards the Dolphin end zone. 347-347 if you want to text in. 1-855-5-GO-FINS if you'd like to call in. Let's go to the Metro PCS Comment Center. A long overdue check-in with Tristan Jones.
Hey, we're okay with that. We're not doing therapy, so it's nice. But we've had a lot of questions about Michael Agnew today. Yeah. And AZ Dolphin says, how positive has Michael Agnew's development when it comes to his versatility? And, you know, have the coaches discovered the best way to utilize him in game situations?
I'm not putting this on the coaches discovering anything. I'm putting it on Michael Agnew showing he's capable of doing something. And that's a credit to Michael Agnew. One catch, 13 yards. It's not going to jump off the box score last night. But if you watch this team closely, and I imagine anybody listening or watching this show watches the Dolphins pretty closely, Troy, they would see Michael Agnew having a greater and greater role each of the last several weeks, starting to get involved not just as a receiver last night, the one catch, but also as a blocker on the line, in the backfield, as a fullback. And this is a guy that I think a lot of people gave up on, and understandably couldn't get himself active for a game during his rookie year. This season, he has come out and he's worked his butt off to earn some playing time for the Miami Dolphins.
I think when you look at, you know, Agnew's development, you have to, you know, you have to give him some credit. I mean, he's a guy that's really stuck in there, and you got to give Coach Campbell a lot of credit, because you know, he spent a lot of time with Michael doing the things that he needed to do to help him along the way. One thing that I see that he is blocking better. He's not only blocking at the point of attack, but he's blocking out of the fullback position better. But he's also catching the football as well. So the plays that you see him making are development plays. They're growth plays. And I think the more they can trust him, the more you're going to see him start to play as the base tight end or the back tight end or even some H-back or whatever the case may be. But you have to take your hat off to Coach Campbell and Michael Agnew. They've done a wonderful job bringing him along and him bringing himself on and putting in the sweat equity.
Physical.
And it's more important. They put in a lot of sweat equity, and that's important in his development as well.
I don't think there's any doubt. And again, the issue with Michael Agnew prior to the last few weeks wasn't that the coaches didn't know how to use him, and that was almost the suggestion from the guy asking the question. It was that Michael Agnew hadn't shown he could do anything. Mm-hmm. Now he's showing he can do things. He's getting those opportunities, and you got to feel great for Michael Agnew, one of the very, very pleasant, nice surprises for the Miami Dolphins this year, because he is a legitimate contributor on this offense, and I think we're getting to the point where it's fair to expect more from Michael Agnew as time goes on. That wasn't necessarily the case even 4 or 5 weeks ago. With amazing sights, sounds, and people, the Bahamas are truly something to behold. Visit Bahamas.com for deals and packages today. Big credit to Michael Agnew. Take a two-minute break. When we come back, get to a couple more of your questions. Brock Marion coming up in hour number two as well.
DBs.
You're watching the Finsiders on Fox Sports Florida, and you're listening on Dolphins.com and the Finsiders Radio Network.
Now, back to the Finsiders, your all-access pass to the 2013 Dolphins.
Welcome back, Finsiders. First day of November. Mm-hmm. My, how time flies. Dolphins.
You're leaving me hanging this year, too.
Halfway through, what are we talking about?
Ride DCC
this weekend, the Dolphins Cycling Challenge. Great event. You got your helmet.
Yeah.
Bust it out for the TV, folks.
Let me see your helmet.
Sam's got his bike helmet, which includes a camera on top. We're going to get some real deal Sam cam here. You've got the whole thing fitted. You look like you're going into a coal mine or something with this camera on the front of the helmet.
When I tell you I'm going to have Tristan on that bike, if she fall, I'm going to have it all on videotape.
That would be just outstanding.
That's what makes me nervous, because Sam and I decided that we're going to be riding by each other, at least, unless I smoke them.
Ooh.
Sam.
Yeah, he said.
Hey, listen,
Sam,
I'd have been to the highest point. I'm just trying to finish, Tristan.
You don't look
not a race.
That visor
I know.
Take the visor off.
Huh?
Take the visor off.
Yeah, what's with the visor? Mine has one, too.
It's part of the
Take
look.
It off.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Take
what
it off.
Go to RideDCC.com for more information. It's a great event for a great cause. That'll do it for TV. We continue next on 940 and Dolphins.com.
Not cool.
It's the Finsiders.
Ready, steady, go. Welcome back to the Finsiders on Friday, second hour of the show, hour number two. Hour number
two.
That's Sam Madison. Troy Drayden is here as well, having some fun looking back at last night's 22-20 victory over the Cincinnati Bengals in overtime. So much to discuss from this one, and we've had a good time doing it. Nice to get off the schneid. Dolphins had lost four consecutive games, but they pick up their fourth win of the season, and now midway through 2013, the Dolphins are 4-4. Take care of a little business here. Got a text from Palm Beach County. He says, why can't I listen or watch the show on the Dolphins app anymore? You can absolutely listen to it, but you can't watch it on there anymore because we are now on Fox Sports Florida in the first hour of the show. You can still listen on Dolphins.com, on the iHeartRadio app, and on the Dolphins app as well. So there you go. It's been a little bit of time, so go ahead and refresh everybody on all that information. Other business to attend to at the moment, the November 17th game, 2 weeks from now, against San Diego has been moved from 1 o'clock to 4:05 because of the NFL's flex scheduling. The 4 o'clock CBS game that day, Kansas City and Denver, has been given to Sunday Night Football on NBC, and so the Dolphins and the Chargers get moved into 4:05. That's a home game coming up on November 17th, so make note of that if you plan on coming out to Sun Life Stadium, and we certainly hope you'll be able to join us out there because it's going to be a lot of fun. Let's talk offensive line. Nothing sexier than O-line talk to start up the second hour of the show. Jonathan Martin, as you know, not available in the game last night, and so Tyson Claybaugh, 1 week, not even 1 week, like 5 days after being replaced in the starting lineup, is back out there at right tackle, and more than held his own. Richie Incognito gets a neck stinger. He's out like 14 plays into the game. Nate Garner comes in, more than holds his own. Will Yateman, who I don't know if we've seen take an offensive snap so far this year, comes in as an extra offensive lineman, as an eligible tight end, and he more than holds his own. Troy, with all of the talk about the Dolphins' pass protection and run blocking and just general offensive line play, with all the, you know, drama surrounding what was taking place at the tackle position, the trade for Bryant McKinney, those guys stepped up in a big way last night.
Yeah, I think the guys definitely stepped up. I mean, when you think about, you know, some of the things that with Jonathan Martin and you know, Claybaugh having to fill in at the last minute, and then you have some things going on with Gardner filling in, it just kind of – the offensive line came together. And to me, it's a testament to our offensive line coach, but more or less it's a testament to the players because, you know, it's next man up when a guy goes down. And, you know, it's no different than any other situation. So these guys were definitely ready and they were prepared to step up when their number was called. So you have to take your hat off to these guys. And Bryant McKinney, I mean, he's only been here 2 weeks. And to me, he's come in and did a great job, an exceptional job at manning that left side. And right now, I think the running game is starting to hit a groove. I mean, the guys are blocking well up front. I think, you know, part of that success is the success that the offense is having on first down. And when you're able to run the football, then you're able to open up your playbook. And right now, you know, the Miami Dolphins are using play action to freeze those linebackers a little bit. And, you know, when you're jamming Lamar Miller up in there and Daniel Thomas is running the football hard and running downhill, and, you know, our tight ends are catching the ball and everybody's catching the ball, that's fun football. That's exactly what we kind of wanted to see. So you got to take your hats off to our offensive line coach. I mean, he's really pulled these guys together. I mean, kind of a mass unit of guys. But they did an exceptional job against the Bengals. And the Bengals are known for hard, tough old-school defense. You know, the front four is tough, and the linebackers played tough-nosed football. But we handled those guys pretty well.
Yeah, and you have to tip your hat off to the offensive line. Just look at – and also you have to take your hat off to Sherman as well. I mean, because when we talk about the last couple of weeks, the beginning of the games, they've been running the ball very, very effectively. And last week, the same thing. thing. You saw Bryant McKinnon washing down that side coming into his first football game. Yes, he had a mishap on the block, the pass protection where he allowed a sack, didn't count correctly to pick up the right man. But just look at these first couple of drives for the Dolphins. Lamar Miller left tackle for 5 yards. The next play, Lamar Miller left end for 5 yards. Then you go to the second possession that they have. Lamar Miller left tackle to Miami 30 for 5 yards. Everything 5 and 6 yards. Every single time, no matter who it is, you're running the ball. And that takes the pressure off Claypool now. And when he was in Atlanta, what did they do very well? They ran the ball successfully when they had those healthy backs in there. And now when the pass rush had to come, guess what? They had to honor that the Atlanta Falcons, now the Miami Dolphins, can run the football successfully. So guess that pressure can't come all the time. So it washes one hand washes the other. When we always talking about the running game, and we always want to see, yeah, throwing the ball around the park, but you have to establish that running game to loosen up, soften up that defense, and now your offensive line get the tee off on those guys, whether you automatically know they're in shotgun, they're about to pass the ball because they can't run it. Now the defense is teeing off on us. We want them to be thinking about us. We don't want to be thinking want those guys us having to think about them.
We're crediting Will Yateman for his play, kind of coming in and being that eligible guy, basically a blocking tight end in those situations. Troy, we got a text message, somebody asking why we haven't seen that sooner with some of the struggles that the Dolphins have had up front. And I don't know that I have the answer. I'm sure there is an answer, because it isn't like some kind of crazy outside of the box thing. But what would you think is the potential answer to that question?
Coincidence? It's just something that you try, and when you get successful with it, you say, hey, this thing is working for us, so let's stick with it. So I think it's a testament to Will Yateman. And you'll probably will see a lot more of that. But what's going to happen is when you become effective with something, teams have to counter with it. So they'll just get bigger up front when they see Yateman coming in the football game. So right now, I think it's a coincidence. It's just, it's something that worked. And when it's effective, you want to continue to use it. So I can definitely see Yateman coming in and the Miami Dolphins continuing to use that set for themselves, because it's helping the run game.
And remember week two when we were playing Indianapolis and they were establishing a running game against us, they brought in an extra offensive lineman. I was like, just bro, after that game, I was like, man, we have to utilize somebody and bring another guy in, because we're not just getting any push at all. Now all of a sudden, like Troy said, it just so happened coincidence. If another guy goes down, you have to get a little bit more beef in there to push around those guys. And now all of a sudden, it's showing that these guys, Yateman, no matter who they bring in there, can do it. So now you get a little bit of confidence that you can put those guys in there and yet still shore up the blocking scheme. And still, at the beginning of the season, when you're talking about bringing wide receivers in and one throw the ball around the yard, if you bring that extra offensive lineman in, guess what? Your slot receiver have to go out the game.
Right.
No Brandon Gibson. You bringing in Rashard Matthews. Guess what? I'll alter these guys and we'll try to get the most out of their reps going, heavy one time and then bring Rashard Matthews in another.
Certainly different. Gibson, maybe the Dolphins, most threatening wide receiver through the first 7 games of the year before his injury. And you're right. If you're going to go with the extra blocker there, you got to take him out of the game. And now without Brandon Gibson, maybe a little bit more of an interest in taking the slot guy out of the game, even though Rashard Matthews is a good player and did some nice things last night. Certainly understand that. We're talking about the offensive line and everything they set up. How about the running game last night? Lamar Miller goes over 100 for the first time in his career. Overall, 16 carries, 105 yards for Lamar Miller, including the 41-yarder, which has to be discussed. Not only does a defensive lineman, Carlos Dunlap, make an unbelievable hustle play to catch up and force the fumble, so you're frustrated, that Lamar fumbles the football, but also it looked like, and granted, way easier from up where we sit than down on the field when it's all happening in front of you, but it looked like if he just kept going left, he was going to get himself into the end zone.
Yeah, use your speed, and we always talk about use your speed, your God-given talent. If you just punch the gas and run to that left pylon, nobody can catch you. We understand and we know, as UM fans down here watching him and seeing the explosive runs that he's had down in Sunlight State at the same time wearing the University of Miami, we know he has that speed. Show it to us now. Don't believe the hype when you're talking about these NFL players. Yes, they're fast, they're strong. You have that speed. That's why you're the starting running back, because of those capabilities. abilities. All you have to do is just take the ball across the yard and go ahead and do your little flip somersaults in the end zone, and everybody been celebrating with you.
I think it's not only use your speed, but trust your speed. Mm-hmm. Because I know when you're out on that corner, Sam, you think you're the best corner out there, and you are. But you have to feel like I'm the fastest running back out on that football field, and there's nobody going to catch me. So you have to trust in your ability to get you from point A to point B. And I just think it's just going to come with time. I mean, it's going to come with the more and more comfortable he gets. But again, you have to trust your God-given ability, and speed is a thing that Lamar Miller has that he has to trust. He has to trust what he sees, but more importantly, he has to trust his God-given abilities.
Yeah, no, I think that's exactly right. All right, 347-347 if you want to text in, 1-855-GO-FINS if you want to call in. Our buddy Rob from the live chat in London, Ontario is on the phone. What's up, Rob?
I just wanted to discuss something that was seen last night. Obviously, we talked about the running game, and the Bengals' running game, Giovanni Bernard, was really tearing us apart. He was running all over the field for some big runs there. How big did his injury really affect the outcome of last night's game?
It was late. I mean, look, they would have rather had him than not have him. But Gio Bernard, 9 carries, 79 yards, including the 35-yard touchdown, which was like something out of a video game. It certainly didn't hurt the Miami Dolphins that he was unable to go the distance for the Cincinnati Bengals. The guy made just an unbelievable play on that 35-yard touchdown. I really liked what Joe Philbin said about it during the press conference earlier today. He says that's what football is all about. All these questions about play calling and schemes and all this kind of stuff. He goes, that's a guy being the best player on the field at that moment. And he goes, that's how you win football games. I mean, that's what this comes down to. It's that execution we always talk about. And on that play, Gio Bernard was better than anybody else on the field. It had nothing to do with a play call on offense or a play call on defense or a schematic thing. I mean, it was him beating everybody.
Mentality. And that's what I was trying to say, you know, about Lamar Miller. You have to understand and know that you're the best person out there. And, you know, Gio is one of those guys, man. It was an amazing run. I mean, he did not want to go down, and he just felt like, you know what, whatever I do, you're not going to be able to tackle me. And that's just want to. That's a mentality that every running back has to have, and that's something that you kind of want to see out of Lamar Miller. You want to see him trust his speed, but he has to have that mentality that I am the best running back out on that football field.
All right, when we come back, we'll flip it from offense to defense. We'll talk with Brock Marion, the former Dolphin safety, going to join us live. Speaking of defense, congrats to John Offerdahl, the great Dolphin linebacker, going up in the honor roll last night at halftime. And remember that you can join Johnny O and 25 Dolphin legends at the Gridiron Grill-Off a week from Saturday, November 9th. Visit gridirongrilloff.com for tickets and information. Maybe the single best charity event you could go to all year long. If you like to eat and you like wine, gridirongrilloff.com for all the information. Take a break. When we come back, Brock Marion going to join us. You're listening to the Finsiders on 940 Wins and Dolphins.
The Prawns going to win it this year.
Justin Jones, come over.
Now, back to the Finsiders. Your all-access pass to the 2013 Dolphins.
Welcome back to the Finsiders with former Dolphins Troy Drayden and defensive back Sam Madison.
Thank you.
I'm Jesse Agler. You ready for a little DB talk?
Always.
We got one of your buddies on the phone.
And especially when they like to make tackles.
He did like to make tackles.
He loved to make tackles. Oof. And I gave
that's
him all.
That's a good compliment to you. I was just going to say, it works out. It was a good
perfect
relationship.
Marriage.
He did the tackling. You didn't have to.
There you have it.
Brock Marion is on the Metro PCS hotline. What's up, Brock? How are you, man?
Man, I'm kicking it right now.
You still got Sam's back, I bet, all these years later.
Sure, yes, I do.
Absolutely. All right, a lot of people's, one of a lot of people's favorite Dolphins. I was here from 98 to 03, 3 Pro Bowls, an All-Pro, won a couple of Super Bowls before that in Dallas. Let's talk defense. Let's talk secondary, because we've spent a good amount of time this year discussing Brent Grimes and Dimitri Patterson, the two starting corners, and Patterson has kind of been in and out of the lineup with injuries. But a lot of people are saying maybe the best cornerback duo the Dolphins have had since the Sam and Pat days.
Easy.
Including Sam and Pat, but just maybe since.
Oh, come on now.
You know? What are you seeing? Listen. Give us the safety perspective.
Listen, when you got a guy like Sam and a guy like Pat, well, you can just, there's been times in a game where I would try to make a call to Sam and Pat. They're not even looking at me. They're so geared into playing that receiver. That means I'm free. It means I don't got to worry about that side of the field. I don't know if we got that right now in that secondary. So when you say the best safeties or best corners that have played in Miami, I got a little bit to say about that. Now I got some guys that could max a guy out whenever, however you wanted them to, whenever, and not you know, they're Pro Bowl guys, you know.
No, absolutely. Safety position is one we talk a lot about. Rashad Jones got the contract this year. Chris Clemens come back as a free agent. But just kind of, I think, for fans watching on TV, the safety position is one of the most difficult sort of evaluate what they're seeing, because a guy can be doing everything right and doing a really good job and you not notice him on television. You've got a little bit better of an eye, I'm sure, for watching that kind of thing than most fans do. As you've watched the games this year, Jones and Clemens, what have you seen from the Dolphins safeties?
I like to see a little more playmaking out of there, because sure, that's what I did, you know. We had so many guys in our secondary that could cover, especially at the safety spot. I mean, I don't take anything away from Sam and Pat, but I could cover the slot, I could cover a tight end, I could cover a wide out, or I cover a back, you know. So I like to see some guys, you know, do a little more playmaking ability out there and knock some people out. I like to hit now, so it's good to watch. It's good to watch. You know, being retired for a while, you get to see, you get to analyze, and everybody's got an opinion on something. But when you play the position, you could be a little more critical of what's going on. So that's where I stand with it.
Brock, you were here, like Jesse talked about, 98-03. We won a lot of football games, and it was a lot of tough, hard, tough football games throughout the course of those years. We took the thing down to the wire. We always said you got to play, you know, four quarters. Don't let up. Around here for the last couple of years, you see the defense being similar to the things that in the situation that we were in, you know. And I talk to them all the time. I'll say we took it upon ourselves to go out there, try to create turnovers, get the ball back to our offense. So because the more times that you can get it back to them, it allows those guys to put points on the board. Sometimes they don't go that way. How did, you know, because you were that veteran that came in and we learned from you, keeping the team together no matter what's going on, if there's a storm where you're talking about one, two games here, you're losing, and then you got to win, you know, having that veteran present, it helps the team stay together.
Well, you know best. You got to stay the course. You know, you got to stay the course. Regardless of what's happening, you can't control what's happening on the other side of football. You just can't. You'd like to think you can control it or give your opinion or whatever, but all we could do on the defensive side is control what we do. And that means if we got to line up and get three and out, you know, the whole game just for us to have a chance to win, that was what we needed to do. And, you know, from a veteran standpoint, you just got to stay the course. You can only do what you do and do it good. And you know, like you had mentioned earlier, if we got to give them the ball, we got to create turnovers. We got to score on defense. If that's going to help us win, and that's what we got to do, we got to rise to the occasion. You know, I can remember us not having really we had a very small margin of error for us to win. If we gave up more than 17 points, or if we gave up a certain amount of points, we didn't have a chance to win. But hey, we went out there and we shut people down, and that's what it is. You got to rise to the occasion. Stay the course and only control and only do what you can do. I mean, don't worry about whatever's going on the other side of the locker room or even in the other side of cubby. That, you know, what's in your cubby? That's where you got to start. What you got to do in your cubby? And then that gets infectious. If you control what's going on in your cubby, now you can try to bring somebody on board and go from there. That's how I think the leadership starts.
Brock, a lot of the NFL has changed. You see, they've taken a lot of the power away from the defensive backs. And I used to, and I still say this to this day, that playing man-to-man coverage is a lost art in the NFL. And, you know, back when we played, you know, nobody did it. Nobody was as effective at jamming guys than our corners. I mean, we had guys that could play man-to-man, T. Buck, and Sam and so forth. But I look around the NFL and I look at Seattle and they have Sherman and those guys. But I really see that the man, the true man-to-man coverage is a lost art in the NFL.
Listen, I grew up in this league coming in where I played with you know, as a young buck. I played with Deion Sanders. I played with Kevin Smith. I played with Larry Brown. I had a safety in Darren Woodson. I come over to the Dolphins. I got Sam Madison. I got Patrick Surtain. I got Terrell Buckley.
Man, you spoil.
all I'm saying is this. We played in-your-face defense. That's all I know. That's all I know. And if you need somebody to guard the slot, you can have one of your safeties come down and guard the slot. We're gonna guard the tight end. We you know, we bring a Jerry Wilson off the bench or a Kenny Gant off the bench to come and guard the slot. You know, so all I know is man to man. You know, because if you can shut the outside out, you condense the field. You know, then you let your safeties be playmakers, and that's what I was. I had corners that could shut things down. You know, we could make calls in the middle of a play. We can make calls before the play. You know, I knew if Sam wasn't looking at me, he ain't really worried about what I got to do, so I got to go do something. Or I tell Sam, look, I'm going to the other side of the field, man. I'm about to go steal something right quick. You got him. You know, just things like that. And when you have lockdown corners like that, it gives you the flexibility to do a lot of things on defense, not just pass-wise, but you can do a lot of run-wise, a lot of run support. And I mean, I would sit at, you know, 8 yards and wouldn't even move, you know, just sitting there just waiting to see if I could steal something, you know. And the guys of today, you can't touch a receiver. You can't hit a receiver. You can't touch a quarterback. You can't walk across the goal line without a flag coming or someone suspending you for something. But it's a whole different game. I get it. They're trying to prolong the game. They're trying to prolong the health. I do get it. But from when I grew up and how I played ball, I wouldn't be able to play today. I'd be fine. I'd lose a lot of money.
Especially at Ed McCaffrey on the sideline against that Denver. I don't know. You lost a lot of money on that one.
All I'm saying is that, hey, you shouldn't have tried to touch that ball. That's all I'm saying.
Hey, Brock, you spent a lot of years, like Jesse talked about, 98 to 03 down here. We've done a lot when you're talking about the no passing zone, bringing kids to the game and, you know, giving support in the community. Now, you know, Mad Dog, gym manager, he was all right, Miami, and Brock making plays and, you know, he passed away with cancer, and you know, Twan Russell, James Brown, even Troy Drayton here. We're going to be riding in the Ride DCC to raise money for cancer, but I'm going to be riding for you guys. After I spoke with you, you and Carrie, your mother-in-law, Gloria Deal, diagnosed with ovarian cancer in 2010, and it was in remission, and now it has resurfaced. You know, just the importance of the just getting the information out and raising funds is really big. And because I know you guys are fighting this, you know, tooth and nails every 2 weeks, you know, you guys are in the hospital.
Yeah, man, it is tough. It's not an easy task, you know, when someone you love is fighting that battle, and there's really nothing you can do but be there and support. And I commend you guys for doing all you're doing for, raising money and keeping people aware of what's going on, but it's a scary process, you know, because you never know what's going to happen. You don't know, you know, they've got to change different medications, and they got to change, you know, just a myriad of things that are happening, and it's scary, you know. And I look at her mom, and she's strong, you know. She comes up to watch her. Her grandsons play football, and granddaughter play volleyball, and she's strong, you know. But she still has every 2 weeks she's going in and out and getting treatment, and you know, she's lost her hair a couple times, you know, it's growing back, and you have to deal with that, you know, as a woman, you're losing your hair, you're losing, you know, your feminism, and you know, so it's a big process, not just physically but emotionally. So we're fighting that battle, and I commend you. Like I said, I thank you very much for the ride, you know, making her aware of what's going on with Carrie and I.
Really, really nice. Brock, appreciate your time today. Obviously, all the best to you and your family and your wife's family. And hopefully some good news soon. And, yeah, Sam doing his Ride DCC this weekend, the Dolphin Cycling Challenge, raising money raising money for all of that. He's got a camera hooked up to the top of his helmet, so he'll be able to see everything that Sam goes through this
weekend. We got to get my boy over here, man. Brock, when you coming back to visit us, man? We need you over here for a game or something.
Well, listen, I am good to go at any given time except for when you first move, how crazy things are. Well, that's what's happening right now. I don't even know how to get around this city that I'm living in. I don't even know what's going on.
Just left Ocala to go to Portland, right?
Portland,
yes. I live in Portland, Oregon now.
Wow.
Okay. That's a long trip. We'll give him a break on that. That's
no, I'm not giving him no break.
All right. Well, you know him.
Yeah.
I never met him. I gotta give him a break. Hey, man, Brock. Oh, great to hear from you. Definitely a fan favorite for a lot of really good reasons. And that hitting, I think, at the top of the list for a lot of people, man.
Took a lot off me.
Yeah. Hey. Symbiotic relationship.
Most definitely. Well, you know, Sam. You know how we work. You scratch my back, I scratch yours. We get it done.
You do the hitting, I do the covering.
That's all it is.
Great stuff. Thanks a lot, man. Appreciate it, and hope to have you on again soon.
Appreciate you guys. You guys have a blessed day.
You too, all right, man. Brian. Love you, man.
All right, Brock.
Brock Marion on the Metro PCS Hotline for unlimited access to all interviews. On the Metro PCS Hotline, visit thefinsiders.com. Best to Brock and his family.
Yep.
Tough stuff, obviously, for anybody to go through. Got to take a break. We'll come back, do a little chat's choice. Let those guys decide what we're going to discuss. Check in with Tristan. Your text messages, your calls, all the rest. You're listening to the Finsiders on 940 Wins and Dolphins.com.
We return to the Finsiders now.
Welcome back to the show. Thanks to Brock Marion for joining us.
Safety blanket.
Got it done. All pro in 2000. Won a couple of Super Bowls with Jimmy in Dallas. Came with him here to the Dolphins from 98 to 03. Huge part of the defense, which was so good. So good.
I wanted to put him in the headlock when he first got here, though.
Yeah, I was going to say, what was that like? Because he came a year after. You were a rookie. He's sort of a veteran guy. What was that transition like?
Well, you know, like he said, he's like, Sam, you know, man, Prime, this is what Prime. He said, I'm going to cover everything. Brock, all you got to do is cover the slant. I was like, Brock, bro, I'm not fast like Prime Time. Listen, this is my first year ever playing press. And, you know, this is my first year starting in the league. Man, I need you to give me a little body help. Every single game, he'll sneak down. But it taught me, you know, how to cover. It taught me, you know, where he would be or that safety would be and where the help would be on the football field. So, you know, playing with those guys and then him coming over here, he helped me just as much as I helped him, you know, to become the ultimate pro and to go out there and know where the plays are to be made because, you know, he's going to push you to the limit. He's going to be there for you on those tackles. And you know, towards the end of his run here, he was making some interceptions as well. So, you know, I tip my hat off to him, man. He wasn't the biggest person. He came from a free agent, and he won Super Bowls, and he picked up right where he left off.
Right.
Let me tell you something. You're talking about a guy who was a complete safety. You're not a guy who can just not only come up and support the run, but somebody who can cover as well. Like you said, he covered the tight ends. He covered the running backs. He covered slot receivers. Whatever you needed Brock Marion to do, he was able to do that. And that was the versatility that he had. But ultimately, when you're talking about that relationship between the safety and corner, you have to have that trust. I mean, because if you know that, you know, listening to him brings back a lot of memories. And him saying, hey, you know, if Sam didn't look at me, I knew that I could go peek other places to see if I can make a play. And that says a lot about what Sam is doing and what the other guys are doing. But it shows complete and utter trust in that person that you know you're going to be where you say you're going to be. And to me, you know, that's what it's all about. It's all about the communication. It's all about trust. And that stuff has developed over the course of time. Like Sam said, his first year playing press, hey, just give me a body presence and allow me to develop. And then once we start to develop and I know where you're at and you know what I'm going to do, then we can take off the reins a little bit and we can both play. And he played football, and that's what it was all about, man.
And Jesse, as soon as the season started, you know, the one thing that, you know, I go away, I do the training camp, and I come back, you know, the first thing that I noticed was the DBs finally communicating more. You know, they're relaying the message across the board. And when you're doing that, and you look at Ellaby, he's sitting there, guys moving around, he's telling him, hey, watch the guy coming across. The communication is very important back there in the secondary, because those front seven and then sometime that one safety coming down into the box, they have to focus on that running part. And as the guys on the back end, you have to focus on the pass. And then those front seven, eight, they will adjust to the pass. So it just everybody needs to be on the same page. And we played a number of years. When you sit there and talk about 98 to 03, we've been together and we had a lot of practice together.
Yeah.
And that is the one thing that really, really helps as well. You can automatically just feel, you know, what that person is going to do, and it allows you to go and make plays.
Also, just an absurd amount of talent on that defense. I mean, when you look back and you think about it, it's not just the corners, but then Brock and obviously JT and Zach and Timbo. I mean, you just go on and on and on.